Friends, our scripture lesson for today comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles or on the screens behind me. Dear friends, let us love each other because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Psst. I don't know if you heard, but we're having a 70th celebration.
Oh, Lord. Listen, we're going to try that again. We're having a 70th celebration. Very good. That sounded more like a party. Thank you. And we're calling it the Heart of Hilldale. So it only makes sense that this month's sermon series is entitled Matters of the Heart. Together, we'll remember who Hilldale UMC has been able to be by God's grace, and who we joyfully and humbly hope to be moving forward together as a congregation. Together, we'll study scriptures that remind us what a powerful and central role the heart plays in why we are who we are and why we do what we do. And because the heart and love are our central focuses, if we started anywhere but 1 John, we just would have been doing it wrong. So kudos to Pastor Jefferson and this sermon series. A lot of the time, the epistles, which is just a fancy word for letters of John, are attributed to the same John after whom the fourth gospel is named. But due to when the letter was written, scholarship indicates that it was probably more of a singular follower of John's theology who wrote these letters to newer Christians. There were understandably tensions arising between newly converted Christians, the ones who were fully ready to live into this new belief system, and those who were still struggling with wanting to hold on to their Jewish tradition. How could they reconcile the two? How did the two possibly fit together to enable a life of faithfulness that Yahweh would be proud of and support? There were false teachers among the community looking to stir up even more trouble and confusion. In 1 John, we read as the writer tries to take it back to the basics in the midst of confusion, reminding believers who God is, who God expects God's people will be, and how God expects they will rise to the task for which they've been created and called, both on an individual and communal level. And what does the writer of 1 John tell them right out the gate in the passage we're focusing on this morning? God is what? Very good. That sounded much better than the celebration. We're awake now. Very good. That's right. Not power, not dictatorship, not damnation, not exclusion, not wealth, not greed. Nope. God is love. And before it's ever made that plain for us, the writer tells his readers that they have got to love one another. What do they have to do? Very good. That's right. Because love comes from where?
God.
Yes. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. Why? Because God is
love.
That's right. We don't know love apart from God. Because apart from God, love does not exist. God is both the creator as well as the muse for love, because God's very essence is love. How do we know the love of God, the writer asks us? Well, that is quite simple. We know that love because God sent his only Son into the world so that all people may experience eternal life through him. Later in this chapter, the writer will remind us that we love because God first loved us. Church, why do we love? We're paying attention very good. No snoozers yet. We must not be misguided nor confused about the nature of love and where the power of that love comes from. The ability of God's love to transform the world is not dependent upon us loving God, but has everything to do with God choosing to love us. Love has chosen to love us. No matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we stick our foot in our mouth, no matter how many times we make decisions that take us further away from rather than bringing us closer to God, the God who is love keeps on loving us. You see, the heart of God is not easily stifled. In fact, the heart of God refuses to give up on the hearts of God's people. And God intends that God's people would do the same for each other. No matter if we disagree, no matter if we fuss, no matter if we have different life experiences, no matter if our interests are the same, no matter where we are from or where we are going, God intends that our hearts never, ever give up on each other. Believers and people who may or may not be believers, as well as people who are very clear that their relationship with God as of now is non-existent. It does not matter. You see God putting any qualifications on loving you, on loving me, on loving us? No. So what makes us think we should? Verse 11 even says, referring to God loving us despite our sinfulness, "Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other." Praise the Lord that God does not just love us when we've been good or nice, but that God comes in ready and willing and refusing to do anything other than love us. There are no qualifications or specifications in order to receive God's love. The text tells us that God remains in us if we will but love each other. Now, this love that the author is speaking about is no kumbaya, sitting around a campfire, feel good nonsense. Y'all remember Barney the dinosaur? Girl, I was obsessed. When I was little, don't ever ask my parents about that shadowy time in their lives, okay? But y'all remember the song, right? I love you, you love me, we're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? Yeah, that ain't it, Hilldale. Rather, embracing and embodying the heart of God is about so much more than cutesy songs and empty words, amen? It's about showing up for our church family when there's sickness or loss of varying kinds. It's sitting with someone when they get unthinkable news. It's loving someone and being in relationship with someone even when their understanding of God is different from yours. It's reminding someone that they are not a burden and that they are beloved. For our community, it means not just feeding people who deserve it or giving financial assistance to people whom we arbitrarily deem worthy of those gifts or lending our time to people only when they show us their gratitude. No, we are called to love one another in the various valleys of death that plague this existence, without stopping to ponder whether or not someone should be the recipient of our resources. We show up because God shows up for us. We love because God loved us first. We give because God gave up his life to show us the lengths divine love will go to reach us. We can only experience new life, redeemed life, when we allow the love that is God and the love that is God to be the foundation for our every single thought and word and action. And that is surely harder than the lyrics of the Barney song, am I right? You have to breathe, eat, think, sleep, love, and get up in the morning ready to do it all over again for as long as we have the opportunity to keep on keeping on in this life. It's a commitment. And it's not just a commitment, church. It is the commitment, right? The one that matters most, to choose love again and again. One that we have not always and will not always faithfully live into. One that we have and are going to continue to mess up. It's called being human. Anybody here ever mess up? I better see every daggum one of those hands, or you nod or blinking twice at me or something. Yes, we have all messed up. And we are human, and we cannot allow our humanity to be our excuse not to do better and be better and love better every time we realize we've gone astray from the essence and the character of God. Church, we are called to repent, to turn back to God again and again and recommit ourselves to loving as the one who loved us first. You see, this season in our life as a church is not some random moment in time we're choosing to commemorate or acknowledge. Dear ones, it is a time of revival. We are coming alive once again to the spirit of God's people that led to the creation of our church on the hill to reach more of our community with God's love and generosity and compassion. And we are coming alive once again to the Spirit who has faithfully led us to who we are today. It is a journey that we are on together. We remember and give thanks for the faithfulness of God at work and the folks who came long before us, meeting together at Moore School all those years ago as they figured out who they were, the people of Hilldale. We celebrate the family who is here now, being the hands and feet of Christ now as Hilldale UMC. And not only now, but we look forward with great anticipation to what God will be up to with us next. While we cannot and are not meant to know what lies ahead, we do know that God's own heart will go with us, be with us, and for us. God's own love will transform us just as it transforms the world. God is and always will be love for everyone, regardless of what anyone has to say about it. What about it, Hilldale? It's coming. Can you feel it? Revival is on the way for this church on the hill to be a renewed light to the world into which we are called. So I guess all that leaves is, well, the heart of the matter. Are you ready? Are you ready to be transformed by the power of God's love? Are you ready to transform the world by the power of God's love? Are you ready for wherever the power of God's love is leading us next? If your answer is yes, or even maybe, then come on. There's room enough for everyone in the heart of God. Amen.